You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Embedded in the more than 5,000-page COVID-19 relief bill is a provision to help support the flailing arts industry. The pandemic shut down stages in March all across the country, putting venues, promoters, and arts organizations in the most challenging financial position that they've ever faced. So now, 10 months into this health crisis, people in the arts industry are still struggling, and many have gone under, and so many don't know how they'll make it through this pandemic. But our guests today are breathing a bit of a sigh of relief after the passage of the Save Our Stages Act. Joining us now are three people affected by all of this in the Boise art scene. Carol Skinner is the owner of the Flix Movie Theater in Boise. Eric Gilbert is the director of Treefort Music Fest. And Aaron Anderson is the executive director of the Idaho Botanical Garden. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Hello.
So before we talk about the relief bill and what it means for your businesses and organizations, I do want to get a sense from each of you about how these things have gone so far. So Eric, let's start with you. So for those folks who don't know, Treefort Music Fest, it happens every year in March, and they're indoor and outdoor venues in the downtown Boise area. The festival was hit literally right away when the pandemic came to Idaho last year, because around the same time the state announced its first confirmed case in March, you actually had to make the decision to cancel the festival, which was supposed to start just a week after that. So how would you characterize the last 10 months when it comes to the festival's financials?
Well, yeah, because we had to postpone so soon to when the festival was going to happen, it was definitely a very challenging financial position to be in, because essentially we had already incurred a lot of the expenses to put the festival on, and then had to shoot the income from that festival out into the future. Now, when Treefort happens this coming September, it's going to be 2.5 years since the last festival, so that's a long time to go without having any revenue. And I'll just say, though, that's the beginning of it. And then all these venues, you know, have had little to none, no revenue for since March, really. And so it's been challenging. And we were on the crest of that wave, but we're not the only ones that have been hit really hard.
Right. So Eric, were you able to get funding during the first relief package? I mean, all the way back in the spring.
So one of the challenges with what was in the first relief package is, for example, the PPP, which is probably the most so the PPP was, we did get some of that, but it was designed for 60 days of closure. And so, and it, you know, we don't have a lot of full-time employees, and it was based on full-time employees. So there's a lot of gaps in that bill as far as helping venues and independent promoters out, especially because it was designed for such a short period of closure where venues have been closed ever since this started. So, and to be honest with you, we all thought there was going to be another package in the summertime, and we're holding on for dear life by the end of the summer. And I speak, you know, not just myself, but a lot of the brick and mortar venues. And so the fact it took as long as it did was hard for a lot to hold on. And a lot of venues around the country have had to close, you know, but those that are holding on, this is definitely good news, but there's a lot of work still to be done.
So Carol, I want to bring you into the conversations, because the Flix was closed for a period of time due to Governor Little's COVID-19 restrictions. And then you were able to reopen with a new air filtration system as well as a mask requirement. So how has business been, and how would you describe your financial situation up to this point?
Well, we reopened on June 26th, and it was slow, but during the summer, we at least had the patio for diners to come and sit outside. And once the weather got worse, like actually today, if it wasn't raining, people could sit out on the patio with the heaters on. but you know, we're so grateful that this new program is going to be available, because you only have to be down 90% to be in the first 2 weeks. And we're down so much more than 90%.
Like, right.
It's ridiculous. You know, we didn't lay anybody off. I still continue to pay our employees medical, dental, and vision insurance. We still have the IRA going. I didn't reduce anyone's salaries. And, you know, that would just be wrong. And so we luckily did get some PPP money. And I think that was supposed to last a pretty short time. And, you know, we ran out of that after 12 weeks. And so we're struggling. We still have some people that come because you can be not 6 feet away from people when you watch a movie, but about 30 feet away. So it's like being there by yourself. So some people are still coming, but it's just not, you know, a lot of people are afraid and they're waiting for the vaccine. And so I get my vaccine in, I think it's April, which I'm pretty excited about. Our daughter's a healthcare worker. She already got hers. And, you know, she was only, her arm hurt for a couple of days and she was fine. She didn't miss any work. So we're really hopeful about that for our clientele, because so many people that come to the clinics are like 50 to 85. You know, we have a lot, we have thoughtful younger people as well, but people with young families are, you know, more likely to stay at home. And so we're really so grateful to Senator Schumer and Klobuchar and Cornyn for this work that they've done. And we're excited. We have not intended to close, even though we're losing money. You know, Rick and I are willing to put in money for, you know, if we need to. And we are pretty much out of money right about now. So this is good timing.
Yeah. And then, Eric, unlike Treefort and the Flicks, the Botanical Gardens, it's a nonprofit organization in Boise. And normally you put on outdoor concerts in the summer and then indoor and outdoor events throughout the year. So give us a sense of how the pandemic has affected your bottom line, but also your employees.
Yeah, we have several different events here at the garden from starting in spring when we were mandated to close down. We missed out on our ephemeral art exhibit, which is an outdoor exhibit, all the way through to our Winter Garden Aglow. This pandemic has affected us. We have for our live entertainment, our Outlaw Field concert series that we partner with Seymour Concerts on. We bring about 13 to 15 different nationally acclaimed artists to the garden every single year. And this year, of course, that was shut down. We were able to continue to partner with Eric for some of our Duck Club Presents concerts here at the garden under our Great Garden Escape series. However, our capacity was significantly reduced. We are lucky because we have the opportunity for some of those outdoor events, but looking at about 15 to 20% of capacity, it's very difficult for our bottom line. And this year we were able to retain about half of our staff, but with the reduction in even our education program capabilities, we weren't able to rehire many of our staff that we would be able to for a seasonal positions to help with our education and our event programming. And we did have to lay off a significant amount of our staff as well, just to ensure that we could keep our gates open year round.
Is it a fair assumption to say that this was the hardest year any of you have seen within the arts industry?
Yes.
Yes. True. Yes.
and Eric, we should note that the relief package does set up grant funding that businesses and organizations can apply for. And I believe the funding can be used on things like payroll and benefits, rent, mortgage, utilities, things like that. So how does Treefort plan on using that, and how much are you hoping that you'll receive?
Well, I think that's some of the, a lot of the unknowns is exactly how it's going to play out. But the nice thing about it is it's much more flexible. The money can be used much more, you know, it can be even used for independent contractors, which we have a lot for. So there's a much broader ability to spend the money on variety of expenses, which definitely suit the live entertainment industry a lot better. So I think, you know, we've done some independent fundraising that have helped sort of shore up our immediate cash flow. But our hope is that this bill will really help us be able to come back as the organization that we were, you know, and I think it's one arrow in the quiver. And it's, you know, entities can qualify for up to 45% of their 2019 gross revenue, but there's a lot of factors that go into that. So that would be a significant help if possible, because we definitely, that's pretty close to the like crater that was left. So,
And then Aaron, what about the botanical gardens? What could this funding allow you to do?
Well, we're going to be looking at when, you know, all of the rules and criteria for this grant funding come out, if this is something that the Garden will apply for. But most importantly, we're most concerned with our partners. This year, we partnered with Boise Contemporary Theater to have some small readings here in the Garden. We partner with Story Fort. We partner with Duck Club. We partner with Seymour Concerts. Arts and culture is so important here in our community. It is what brings people together in shared space and creates commonalities. Right now, our community and our nation is so divided. And I think a lot of that goes down to the fact that we're not able to come together in groups where maybe you don't know that you have a commonality. You may see the same person as it at a Outlaw Field ZZ Top concert as you would at a Tree Fort Lizzo concert, and you start to find commonalities within each other. And when you're not able to come together to experience something as a group, like a Boise Contemporary Theater reading or going to the Flicks and watching, you know, a movie and starting a community dialogue, I think that our entire community really suffers. So while we may not be specifically be applying for funding through this opportunity, we're going to do everything that we can to help every single one of our partners and everyone within the arts and history and culture community here in Boise to apply, because I can't imagine a Boise without those spaces, without the opera, without the ballet, without the Boise Phil. And so, you know, for us, it's really how can we all support each other during this time, get that funding going so that we know when we're able to come back together as a group in our community that we're able to do so successfully and that those organizations are still around.
And Carol, as we mentioned earlier, I mean, it's been months since that first relief package in the spring. I'm curious about how frustrating it was to not get this kind of action from Congress, until now. And we should note that luckily the Save Our Stages Act went through, the Save Our Restaurants Act did not go through. And so it's fair to say that we're seeing these same issues within locally owned restaurants. But with that being said, did you try lobbying Idaho delegates at all about the Save Our Stages Act?
I did. And also, the Flicks is a member of the National Association of Theater Owners, and they are a lobbying, among other factors, organization. And so they were pretty instrumental in making sure that independent movie theaters were included in the Stages Act. And so we're so grateful for that. And, you know, my husband and I attend all of the things that Aaron mentioned, the Shakespeare Festival and Boise Contemporary Theater. We go to Outlaw Field. A couple of years ago when we were at Tree Fort, someone came up to us and said, "Oh, so great to see you. We thought we were the oldest people here." So, you know, and whenever I go to any of those places, I see our Flicks people. I mean, like when I've gone to Shakespeare, I said, "Well, gosh, it looks like the Flicks is dead tonight because you're all here." You know, and so, but we love that. We love that the people that love the arts in Boise love the Flicks. And it's interesting because our clientele is so much more like the clientele for the other entities I mentioned than other movie theaters. It's like people that like the Flicks love the Flicks. People that like the Botanical Garden love the Botanical Garden and Freeford and BCT. And so we're like one entity in some ways in that we support each other. And, you know, I've continued to book films, and I have a film calendar that instead of printing it, because everything changes so quickly, I've been just doing it online. And a lot of these entities are our advertisers. And I'm like, "Do you have anything to advertise? Like, can I include you in this?" And some of them, I just put them in anyway, because I needed to fill the space because I love them too. And, you know, it's not fun if you're the only one that survives. Like, we all want to survive. Yeah. We want to help each other.
Well, I want to thank all of you for taking time out of your day today. We've been talking with Carol Skinner, owner of the Flicks Theater in Boise, Eric Gilbert, the director of Tree Fort Music Fest, and Aaron Anderson, the executive director of the Idaho Botanical Garden. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.